San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 28, 2019. Today's lesson is Untie the Knots with Reverend Dr. Constance Cookcor. So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome. You are so welcome here. You know, we have this little thing that we say, it's whomever you are, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. And that's because we are not picky. Not as far as who comes and who goes. We are not concerned with where you are as far as comparison-wise, only that you are here now. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And these words every Sunday anchor us in that undeniable, absolute truth that there is one and only one, and oh, by the way, we're it, and so is everything else. So this is the last Sunday of July, and our theme for July has been liberation. Today's talk is Untie the Knots, and as I've posted it, I realized the first time I posted it, I spelled knots with K-N-O-T-S. And then I realized I made a mistake. I was supposed to be writing it N-O-T-S. So as you look at the announcements and the paperwork and different things, you're going to find it one way or another. But it's the same thing. It's the absolute same thing. If you look at the icon on the program insert, you'll see three different kinds of knots. And you'll also see different stages of that knot coming into being. In the first example, it's just a lot of threads kind of weaving, kind of loosely. And you look at it and you think, that could get messy. And in the next image, you see that it's getting a little more closed in, more tight, and it would take quite a bit of concentration to untie that knot. And then you see the tightened knot. Too many of us are living our lives as that tightened knot, not realizing that we have bound ourselves. As I was doing my research, I was looking at Spiritual Liberation by Michael Bernard Beckwith, of course, because this is July and liberation is our theme. And I came across something in a section that I was going to address today. My husband, Reverend John, had a Zen calendar, and he had slipped one of his Zen calendar pages in the very page where I was looking. This is by Huang Po, and it says, "Do not permit the events of your daily lives to bind you, but never withdraw yourselves from them. Only by acting thus can you earn the title of a liberated one." He's saying, don't let everything tie you up in knots in your life, but don't withdraw yourself from the experiences because you're afraid of getting tied up in knots. Don't hold yourself back. Don't limit yourself. It's blowing my pages. When we tie ourselves in knots within our lives, these knots, K-knots and other knots, can be in our family, with our friends, with our career, with our social circle. And it happens when we're trying to be something other than our true self. When we're trying to be something that we are not. when we are trying to fit into somebody else's idea of who we truly are. Well, if I want an idea of who I truly am, I'm not going to go out asking random people on the street. I'm going to go within, and I'm going to say, reveal to me. Reveal. And I'm going to allow all of the truth that is the divine to flow through and as me. And in that, I will see that that is the same truth that I am. When we have these other relationships, there are intricacies to them. There are how we fit into our family. Are we a daughter, a son, a mother, a brother, a sister, a parent, a child, a grandparent, an aunt, a niece or a nephew? What are we? And our relationship with each individual in that family unit is subject to an intricate balance of the relationships that each of the other person has with everybody else in the family. The relationship that I have with my brother has a bearing on the relationships that I have with my sisters and with my parents. All of it, because nothing exists in a vacuum. Now, the only way that we can absolutely be true to an honest and open relationship with every one of them is to be true to an honest and open relationship within ourselves. That with the divine, that sacred essence that is who we are. And so as long as we remember who we are with no limitations, no fears, no smallness, we can get through whatever anyone else is doing. And it is, when you study the Four Agreements, it's obvious. We don't take anything personally. We don't make assumptions. We be impeccable with our own word. Especially the one, our inner thoughts, our inner words, what we say to ourselves about ourselves. That is the most important relationship that we have. With ourselves, because with ourselves we are with the divine. There's one, only one, infinite, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present. So where does that leave us? It leaves us right there in the divine. That's all we are. And then we're having this human experience. So we have the holiness and the sacredness, which we are, which our inner self absolutely remembers. And then we have the world that we are in and yet not of. And all the other people in the world that are in the world and yet not of the world, though some of them act like they are of the world. And that's okay, that's their path. We don't get to dictate anybody else's path. Goodness me, let's work on our own self. You know, I want to be peace. I want to be love. I want these beautiful expressions in my life. I don't want to have to tell other people what they should be doing when I'm still working on me. Of course, when I was a mother with small children, that was a different story. That was, nope, nope, can't do that, must do that, can't do that, must do that. And showing respect and learning discipline, making the beds and stuff. And I remember when my son was a teenager, I think I've said this before, but when he was a teenager, one of his friends had blue hair. And, oh no, not his friend. He wanted to do his hair blue. He has very dark hair, beautiful dark hair, but he wanted his hair blue. And I told him no. And so he's ragging me, as 14, 15-year-olds do to their mother. And I could say, no, no, no. I finally got very frustrated, and I said, we don't associate with people with blue hair. Okay, so this is mom. This is mom trying to have some kind of control in the house. This is mom with security clearance so that everything that we think, do, and say could show up on the front page of the paper tomorrow. So, no. we don't associate with people with blue hair because people with blue hair tend to do things that are not in alignment with being safe with national secrets, in my mind. They probably perfectly were fine, but in my mind, it was like, no, that doesn't fit with my responsibilities. And so I have to keep my son out of that to keep him responsible. So my son is married and he has two boys. And they sent a picture, and one of them had green hair, and the other one had blue hair. And so I responded to my son, I said, I guess we do associate with people with blue hair after all. But that's an example of how we can get tied up in something by trying to create some sense of control or some sense of security. And that's not, in the outside things, that's not where we have our security. Our security is within. It is knowing that we are the very substance, the source, the very life force of the divine, that it is unlimited, it is limitless, it is infinite, and therefore we are made of that same infinite stuff. We cannot be harmed. The infinite spirit, God, does not stand against itself. It is always with and for itself. And that's why we're here as the expression of the divine. That's why we are having this beautiful experience, which on some days is not so pretty in our opinion, but it's still a beautiful experience. That's why, because we are all the divine expressing perfectly and purely every moment of every day. Or so we thought. Ernest Holmes in the Science of Mind textbook says, man has the ability to choose what he will do with his life and is unified with a law which automatically produces his choice. Automatically produces his choice. What does that sound like? What does the universe always say? Yes! The universe always says yes. We get to choose what we put out into that law because the law immediately performs. Immediately. It was always, every second, every moment, every nanosecond, is always performing in alignment with the majority of our beliefs, with the preponderance of our beliefs. So let's see what Michael Bernard Beckwith says in Spiritual Liberation. Our beliefs are those laws that we have, our inner laws, our personal laws of life. And conveniently, he has a whole chapter on that. It's on our personal laws of life. Trust love, trust God that love is everywhere, that we are here to be perfect givers of love and receivers of love. Love will have the final word. So, Dr. Beckwith says on page 67, our self-growth is fueled by the contents of our inner ecology. Our inner ecology is qualified by the personal laws of life by which we live. It's an illuminating, often startling revelation to evaluate our personal laws of life. Whether or not you're aware that they're operable in your life, whether or not you have consciously explored them, they are the causality of the conditions and circumstances present in your life that determines your priorities, the quality of your relationships, finances, creative expression, physical well-being, and the spiritual path you do or do not follow. The state of mind in which you meet the circumstances in your life, be it laughter, tears, joy, fear, courage, integrity, generosity, creativity, confusion, clarity, acceptance, resistance, crazy thoughts, wise thoughts, is according to your personal laws of life. He goes on to say, in an open spirit of experimentation, you can discover right now the laws from which you self-express. Are you always talking about the past, speaking from your historical self, or from within the freshness of who you are in this moment? What are the contents of your conversations? Are they honest, genuine, guarded, open, loving, affirmative, uplifting, gossipy, complaining, critical? Are you living life on the layaway plan? Spending some life energy today and saving more to live for tomorrow? Or do you live each day full out, withholding nothing from life? Your answer to these questions will provide insight into the mental habit patterns which comprise your laws of life. Wow. So, what is he saying? He's saying that the preponderance of our thoughts, our habits, our mental habits, our verbal habits, the people we hang around with and how we relate to them. Are we a whiny complainer? Are we a cheery uplifter? That is where the preponderance of our thoughts continues, according to the law, to develop, to create, to provide more of whatever we have as our heartfelt beliefs, as our personal laws of life. I'm sure we all know somebody whose personal laws of life gives us pause. And we have people whose personal laws of life inspire us and uplift us. Not to say, I want to be like Kathy, but to say, wow, I see Kathy has really, really come into peace, into joy, into fulfillment. I can have that too. I can have my own peace, my own joy, my own fulfillment, because I recognize the pattern that Kathy used to obtain hers. Connection, unity, that inner knowing, following her personal laws of life to be joy, to be wise, to simply be Kathy, God as Kathy. Going back to that image where we see on the icons, where we see the knot gradually tightening and then becoming what could be maybe called a Celtic love knot, or a complete binding of our freedom. We want to think about, what do we say to ourselves? I have this list I prepared. Do we say we're not smart enough? Not strong enough? Not pretty enough? Not handsome enough? Not rich enough? Not creative enough? Not thin enough? Not fat enough? Not coordinated enough? Do we say those things? Those are the knots, not whatever enough, that bind us. They bind us in smallness, they bind us in fear, and they bind us in separation. Because we are separating ourselves from the truth of ourselves. These are tight little knots knotted together in layer upon layer until even we can possibly no longer recognize our own divinity. Now we can try to untie those knots. We can try to unravel those knots one step at a time, one painful moment at a time. When I was a young girl, I had some necklaces with fine gold chains, and my way of dealing with them was to put them in my drawer. And so when I wanted to wear one, I pulled one out and it had three chains all knotted up together. And I went to my dad and I said, what am I going to do? And he goes, give it to me. And he spent hours unknotting those chains, link by link by link. And then he said, get some tissue. And he laid it out, laid out my necklace on the tissue, and he rolled the tissue so the chain was straight throughout the length of the tissue. And then he folded it, and then he folded it, and he said, keep them in your drawer like this, and I won't have to be around all the time to untie your knots. I learned. Over the years, I have tried to untie knots and chains when I actually did get careless and toss them in a drawer again. And I found such great appreciation for the patience that my father had. But there were times when I just wanted to say, forget it, you know, cut the chain, take the charm off, and get a new chain. Well, that's not always the best thing to do, but sometimes it is. If we're having trouble trying to figure out where these knots are and how to untie them, we can cut through them very simply. We can cut through those knots with a gleaming blade of truth. Think of it, a beautiful golden dagger. And here we have this knot thing. And it's not just a cut through the knots dagger, it's a magical dagger. Because when we touch this dagger to this knotted mass of all of our doubts, fears, and smallness, it immediately unwinds itself and dissipates. Can you imagine that? Just completely unwinding itself and dissipating back into the nothingness from which it came. So then we can look at these other things and we can say, well, I am, two most powerful words in the world, I am smart enough, I am strong enough, I am pretty enough, I am handsome enough, I am rich enough, good enough, creative enough, thin enough and fat enough, because I am perfectly shaped for this time, this moment, this day, and I'm coordinated enough so I can dance a little jig. I am enough. I am enough. And more than enough. Why? Because I, you, everyone, we are all made of divine essence. Everything is made of the same thing, the same star stuff, the same universal stuff, the same love, the same power, the same truth. We are united, we are one, we are whole. And we are these spiritual immortal beings expressing the divine as we have this experience right here on this planet. And as you remember that, I want to share something else that Michael Beckwith said. I love his sense of humor. You can't divorce yourself. Consider using this introspective exercise often. You are the only person you can't divorce. For the eternity that lies before you, you are going to be with yourself. If you're going to be with yourself just the way you are in this moment, will you be happy? Can you live with yourself throughout eternity just the way you are? Let your answer be a guide to the laws of life and the qualities you want to cultivate and the mental habit patterns you wish to transform. Very powerful. Very powerful. And he says one more thing. In fact, this was one of the quotes for today. Thank you, Noble. Practice, practice, practice. That which transforms your life is what you practice. And what you practice constitutes your personal laws of life. not what you merely believe in, but what you practice. Pretty darned amazing, isn't it? Pretty darned amazing. Well, not so amazing, because Michael Bernard Beckwith is the founder and the spiritual leader of Agape International, which is a science of mind center. Science of mind is based on religious science. The founder of religious science is Dr. Ernest Holmes, and he is the author of The Science of Mind. So everything that we teach is all the same. So when you hear it from Michael Beckwith, you hear it from Roger Teal, you hear it from me, you hear it from any of the ministers, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, because all of us in this movement have felt that resonating chord of truth, that bell that sounds within us that says, ah, I recognize this as the wisdom of the ancients that has lived within me and within the universe always, always. And we are allowed to choose. We are always allowed to choose. I want to share something with you, a friend of mine, another science of mind. This is Dr. Abigail Albert. And at one time, she was the president of ANTIN, Affiliated New Thought Network. And she and her husband, Steve, are very active in the interfaith movement. In fact, they presented me with this interfaith stole. When we are looking at the unraveling of these different things in our life, unraveling is, we unravel what is to weave the threads of our lives into new and enriching fabrics and tapestries. We renew. She says, in the past few months, we've heard from friends, colleagues, acquaintances, and business associates that they are moving into new positions. A minister friend retired, another is looking for a new position, one found a new church home, and a cantor, as interim minister, had to leave her position and is looking for a new synagogue. Our banker retired, our investment advisor now lives in Oregon and is commuting back and forth. Some friends have moved to new homes. In the past few years, our primary doctor changed, our dentist changed. We keep telling our holistic doctor, he can never leave, ha ha. Which of course the ha 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 is, we have no control over that. Ladies, you will appreciate this. My favorite makeup has been changed and new bottles now hold my favorite hair products. And the list goes on. So this is an example of things changing. Obviously things change. People have choices. It doesn't change who they are. It doesn't change the divine essence. And it doesn't mean we need to get all tied up in knots when other people make changes. She says, our lives are meant to change. We can never be the same person today as we were yesterday. And that goes for everybody. Our thoughts, feelings, and experiences shape our day and our life. The Daily Word Affirmation said, I am flexible yet strong in times of change. The key word here is flexible. How flexible are you in times of change? Can you flow like the river, or are you trying to put up boulders and dams to stop whatever is happening in your life? We are what we practice. Are we practicing putting up dams to limit the flow of life moving through us? Are we practicing throwing a big boulder into a little trickle of water that's trying to get to something bigger? Are we damming and blocking ourselves? Well, sometimes. But as soon as we see it, we can say, wait a minute. Let me get out of my own way. Let me move myself aside with my thousands of monkey thoughts in my head and simply go with where I'm being called. Ernest Holmes on page 225 says, "Back of nearly every discord or disorder, there is some subjective complex or mental knot that needs to be untied. Generally, some suppressed emotion, which perhaps is centered around the affections, the likes and dislikes, the loves and passions, and everything which goes with them. These knots must be untied, and it is the business of the practitioner to untie them." Practice. We need to practice untying them. And we can get a practitioner's help. But somewhere else, Ernest has said, we are all practitioners of this teaching. We are all practitioners of science of mind. If you have said a spiritual mind treatment, you are a science of mind practitioner. You are practicing the teachings. He says, "A treatment for peace alone often brings quick results when one is suffering. If one can stop long enough to realize infinite intelligence within me lifts me out of worry, confusion, and doubt, many times nothing else is necessary. And a safe rule for the prevention of worry, confusion, and doubt is thinking correctly. Think only whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report." Good report. I love these teachings. I love them. So think now of a river, of the river of life. We all come from the same source, and yet our lives flow in different directions, making changes along the way, just like a river has to adjust its direction depending on the landscape, flowing over, under, and around rocks, boulders, and trees, etc. When we can view our life as a river, and know there will be rocks, boulders, and trees in our way, as well as twists and turns depending on our choices, we can view it all from the perspective of spirit. All is well, and so are we. All is well. So keep that handy, golden, magical, spiritual dagger. Keep it with you. And when you see any of the not enoughs, cut off the knot, because whatever it is enough. I'm rich enough. What is it the church lady says? I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. From years and years ago. So here we are, enough, more than enough, because there's more than enough in the universe that God created. There's more than enough on a planet of sacred design. Thank you, Daniel Namot. And so I give thanks for you being here today, for you joining us, for being present, for simply you being here. As the divine essence, we are here radiating in this room as the one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. This is who we are. And so I give thanks. Namaste. Namaste.